Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and tonight we're having a voice for a beautiful 16-month-old girl named Alyssa. Our guest will be taking your call shortly. The call-in number is 917-932-8962. The chat room is also open. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/NWCAVE and click tonight's show. Scroll to the bottom of the page and you should see the chat room. 16-month-old baby Alyssa was fatally beaten by her caregiver, Christy Schaefer, and murdered on March 28, 2009, despite the autopsy report declaring her death a homicide due to blunt force trauma to the head. Schaefer only served 77 days in jail. The National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, NWCAVE, is having a voice for justice tonight, and we hope all of you will join the conversation too. A reminder, the call-in number is 917-932-8962, and if you log on to blogtalkradio.com/NWCAVE and click tonight's show, you can join us in the chat room. Of all the media on this case, the chief investigative journalist at Inside Edition captured Alyssa's story the best, in our opinion. Here's a sound clip of Lisa Gurriel's report from Inside Edition in regards to the arrest and only serving 77 days of Schaefer.
Our viewers at Inside Edition primarily are women. And they're very interested in stories that have to do with child abuse, neglect. The biggest thing that we learned is that, you know, this little girl was let down by every single adult in her life and even after her short life was snuffed out, meaning her father died. Her mother was addicted to drugs. The woman who was her caregiver, her second cousin, Christy Schaefer, let her down. You know, the allegations are that Christy Schaefer beat her.
77 days. Judge Vanderbeck actually is a really good friend of the family and was friends with Christy Schaefer's dad, so most of us don't even think that he should have been allowed to try that case.
Afterwards, when finally the medical examiner pronounced this to be a homicide, even then, the woman that, you know, many people felt was responsible for her death, was allowed to walk after just 77 days in jail. So a lot of...
We welcome London to the show. Hi, London. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Thanks for being with us, London. London is with Wettermark and Keith. And, you know, London, back in November 2012, you wrote us about Alyssa. And you had about 80,000 supporters on your Facebook. And for those listening tonight, visit facebook.com/babyAlyssaCries, the number 4 justice, to like their page. You have over 110,000 people that care about this child. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why you got involved and where everything is at right now as far as the case and what the public can actually do and why you got involved personally.
Sure. Well, to take you back just a little bit, I'd like to kind of go back into Alyssa's story just a little bit to kind of bring you to where we are presently. And also to kind of explain how I got involved. It started with the birth of my son, who's now the same age as Alyssa was when she died. And having him, it just I wanted to do more. I was a stay-at-home mom for about 6 months after his birth, and I just realized I was very compelled about some stories I had seen on YouTube, and Alyssa's was one of them, and I was very, very drawn to her story based on the corruption, and just she's a beautiful baby. I mean, to look at her smile, she just captivates you, and you just want to help her. And so I reached out to the founder of the page, and her and I became very close along with the other administrators. And so I have been along with them ever since, almost a year now. And so that's kind of where my involvement came. And I've been very passionate, and I intend to, you know, stick beside them and with our page and never, you know, let Alyssa down. And so kind of to go into the story of Alyssa, and it is a lengthy story, but I'll just try to be, you know, explain it the best I can with, the time that we have. But it started in November of 2008. Alyssa's father, Michael Guernsey, he was killed in a car accident tragically. And her mother, Kelly Sprunger, she was beside herself. She was grief-stricken, unable to care for the children. She had three at the time. And so her cousin, Christy Schaefer, offered to take Alyssa and her other two siblings in while Kelly got back on her feet and worked some things out. And Kelly was happy with that. She didn't want her children in state's custody. And so they went to live with a trusted family member. Alyssa and her siblings were made wards of the state in Steuben County, Indiana, and were officially placed in the home of Matt and Christy Schaefer, who were not trained foster parents, but just relatives. And so at the time, Kelly admittedly, after her kids left, returned to drug abuse. At the time, Alyssa was a normal, happy, healthy baby when she left her mother's home, by all accounts, and beautiful photos of her show a happy baby. And unfortunately, Kelly, you know, was suffering from a disease at that time. So it was in January of 2009, just a couple months later, that Alyssa began losing her hair. Bruises were appearing all over her body. Christy Schaefer had taken Alyssa to doctors to try to find a diagnosis, stating that Alyssa bruised easily and that the dog had knocked her down and that her hair was falling out. Alyssa had been to specialists in Elkhart and Riley's Children's Hospital, none of which could ever find anything medically wrong with the child. Multiple rounds of blood testing were done. Nothing was ever found. During this time, Christy Schaefer kept Kelly, Alyssa's mother, from visiting Alyssa, but not the other two children. So she was preventing Kelly, which was a red flag right there that something was wrong, because she would not allow Kelly to see Alyssa. So in March 28, 2009, approximately 3 months after she went there, which is 110 days, Alyssa was beaten mercilessly. She was murdered on that day. The autopsy report declared her death a homicide. Prior to that, the day of the beating, Christy drove and ran errands with Alyssa in the car. After she had been beaten, she rented a movie, took her kids through the McDonald's drive-thru. So she just had no care for what she had just done to Alyssa at that point. The autopsy report declared her death a homicide due to blunt force trauma of the head. According to the post-mortem exam, her hair had not fallen out. It had been ripped out. So Alyssa endured months of beatings and systematic torture, which resulted in stitches to the head, multiple deep mouth lacerations, a broken elbow, for which she was never given her pain medication, and multiple bruising about her whole head and her body. These injuries were found to be new and old. After all of this, Christy Schaefer never had to take responsibility for the blunt force trauma of Alyssa. In June 2009, prosecutor Jeff Weibel convened a grand jury, which is almost unheard of. He presented, being presented with the medical examiner's report, the Indiana State Police report, and all of the evidence pointing to homicide due to blunt force trauma, the grand jury indicted Schaefer for neglect of a dependent, which is a Class B felony, and neglect of a dependent Class C felony. Neither charge results in the death of a child. Schaefer accepted this plea agreement by pleading guilty to the neglect of a dependent Class B felony in February 2011. In May 2011, Schaefer was sentenced to 10 years in the Department of Corrections. 6 years were suspended. At sentencing, LaGrange Circuit Court Judge J. Scott Vanderbeck offered Christy Schaefer information, which is also unheard of for a judge to tell the defense. any kind of, you know, legal advice, that she could come back in 60 to 90 days for possible modification of her sentence. Multiple letters were sent in by Christie's family pleading for her to be released. Judge Vanderbeck modified Schaefer's sentence in August 2011. That day, Schaefer was released after serving just 77 days. Schaefer only spent 77 days in prison and was released with time served, 6 months home detention with 3 years probation and a $100 fine. Alyssa was tortured, beaten, and lost her life. Pictures 10 days before her murder show a very sad baby with multiple bruises on her cheek, blood around her nose, a very swollen lip from the lip injuries she suffered, and sunken eyes, pale skin, and ripped out hair. Christie Schaefer only served 77 days for torture and murder of an innocent and defenseless 16-month-old baby girl. Alyssa was given no mercy, no justice, and we are here to be her voice. And that's why I joined this cause, and that's why all of the women working with our cause have joined this fight for Alyssa.
I apologize that it took us so long to get you on the air. I anticipate that we'll, because our advisory council comprises of three or four legal experts and attorneys, I think we may have you all back on because I have a lot of questions, to be frank. One being, in regards to this heinous crime, why the autopsy photos would have been released on this poor child, and we're using them because we wanted to call attention to folks that did not know this case. And to be honest, I didn't know much about this case. I had never heard about it until you reached out to us in November of last year. And it's just mind-boggling. But it was Lisa's story that after listening to her report and seeing the judge that she tracked down, I have a lot of questions in regards to him and the allegations that he's friends with Schaefer's father. Because to be frank and to be honest, in my opinion, and I'm no legal expert, I don't know how he could have reduced her sentence so much after he had already sentenced her. It makes no sense. Now, you work for an attorney's office. What, if anything, from a legal standpoint, London, are you familiar with in regards to how the judge could have had that kind of power?
You know, what... in my experience, and this is a lot of opinion here with me, and as far as my experience, judges are given quite a bit of power. Frankly, they a lot of times tend to feel this sense of power with no punishment. There's no, a lot of times, just no recourse or repercussions for a lot of their, you know, judgments that they pass down. It's just kind of the final, you know, hurrah. In a lot of cases, this is just what the judge says. And so a lot of people don't understand that they have rights to, for one, appeal their cases or to file complaints with the Judicial Commission against these judges for what they've done. And in November of 2012, we actually wrote a letter to the Indiana Commission on Judicial Ethics, and we filed a formal complaint with evidence against the judge, requesting that he be disbarred and you know, taken off the bench for his impropriety, and which is illegal in Indiana. And so from all of our research, we were able to come to the conclusion that what he did was, you know, illegal by all accounts. Unfortunately, 6 months later, it took them to review the case. The Indiana Judicial Commission did not feel the same and sent us a letter. Adrian Mehring, who is lead counsel for the Judicial Commission, wrote us a letter and stated that pursuant to admission and discipline rule 25, the Indiana Commission on Judicial Qualifications has concluded its review of your complaint against Judge Vanderbeck. Based upon all the information presented to the commission members, they determined that the judge did not commit ethical misconduct. I don't know how that can be possible when he openly states in court transcripts that he knows the father and has been on boards with him. Having been on a board with someone is a far cry from just saying, I know someone, we live in the same town of, you know, 1,000 people. it's a far cry when you sit on a board with someone and you make decisions together. And I feel that right there should have led them to agree with us that he, you know, had committed ethical misconduct. Unfortunately, they did not agree with that. He did recuse himself, however, from any future. He recused himself from civil suits that are pending, and also anything further in this case, he's recused himself. And he basically said, and I can't quote this right now, I apologize, but he did say that he felt that there were some public backlash from our page, and that he, that's the reason
the truth
he recused
hurts.
Himself. Yeah, absolutely.
The truth
and
hurts.
So that's kind of where he stood, and he recused himself after the fact. But what gets me is that immediately when he got this case before him, I don't understand why he did not recuse himself then, because he had every opportunity to say, wait a minute, I know this man, we've been on some boards together, and I cannot effectively represent this case or make a decision because I know him. It would not be fair to the defense or the prosecution. I'm going to recuse myself and assign someone else. Or they should have moved it to another county. However, they did not do that. And that's primarily because Carrie Sprunger, Christy's father, is on boards with him. And he is an affluent member in the community. He's vice president of State Farm Bank there. Or excuse me, Farmer State Bank, I apologize. And he, you know, knowing him and them being on boards together, he did him a favor, and that's just the way that we look at it. He handed him a favor and said that they were good people, and, you know, that they were basically doing a good deed, and they
were.
Well,
like I said to you earlier this afternoon, you know, you can't blame the father for who he is, but you surely can blame the judge for not stepping down. I mean, if you're doing a jury selection and I'm going to be a juror and I say, hey, I know the defendant, they're not going to select you. So
absolutely,
why in the world would a judge be allowed to oversee the judicial process of a defendant that he's good friends, if not best friends, with her father? That's ridiculous, and this is why I wished we had an attorney on today, because it's mind-boggling. I want to remind the listeners, we have about 20 callers on the switchboard right now, and none of them have their hand raised. I believe it's you select number 1 to speak to the host or 2 to listen. If you are if you're on a call waiting for a question to be asked of London, if you could hang up and call back and make sure you select the prompt to speak to the host. Otherwise, we won't go to you. And I'm hoping that Lisa is out there somewhere from Inside Edition, because like I told you earlier, London, I think your group should nominate her for our Jane Velez Mitchell Journalism Award. That 5-minute report was one of the most powerful things I had seen on this case. And so I think her story is compelling. I've posted the Inside Edition link on the show's page on blogtalkradio.com/NWCave, and also in the chat room. And if anyone is in the chat that you don't want to call in or you can't call in, feel free and post your questions for London inside the chat room, and I will be glad to ask her any questions you may have. Now, your group, powerful group, I must say, have an event coming up, a rally August 12th with the state governor of Indiana. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you want folks to partake in?
Sure. It began with a letter to the governor, and where we are today is a question you asked earlier that I didn't get a chance to get to, is that today what we've realized in this case is that not so much that we want to get the original charges overturned or reopened, because a Class B felony neglect does not cause the death of a child. That charge, for lack of a better term, is what it is. we can't really change that. But what that leaves is that no one has ever been charged with the homicide of Alyssa. So what we're talking about here is that since Christy has never been formally charged with her death, there is a killer walking free. And the only
with
suspect
children,
in the case was Christy. Absolutely.
She has her own children.
Yes, she has four children that we believe today she has presently has custody of. So she is free to walk around in this town and be around other children, which is terrifying. You just never know who doesn't know this story that might leave her alone with their child. That's absolutely gut-wrenching for us. And that's what we want to prevent here in the future also, and not just, you know, we are absolutely unequivocally seeking justice for Alyssa, but also we want this woman off the street because we are in fear for her own children's lives. It scares us, and we want her off the street. And so where we are presently with that is it began that we wanted to begin a homicide investigation, a proper investigation into the death of Alyssa that had never been done to our knowledge in the past. And so we reached out to the governor, who is the 50th governor of Indiana. His motto is that he stands for Indiana and he wants to make it a state that works. He was mentioned in 2008 as a possible presidential candidate. His credentials are impeccable. He assumed office in January of this year. And so we reached out to him based on his values, that he might be someone that cares. If he truly cares about his state, we want his help. So we wrote him a letter and we sent it out in masses. Thousands of our supporters have sent letters. They printed a formatted letter to the governor.
Though, right?
We have not gotten an official response to that letter yet. Not yet, no. It's been going on for a couple months now that we've started sending those letters. We did not get a formal response yet. However, we decided to go ahead and direct our petition towards the governor to get some physical signatures in the state of Indiana. We have people all over the world supporting Alyssa's cause, but we really wanted to target the state of Indiana and get him to see that not only people all over the world, but people in his state care greatly. And that's where Kelly is tonight, Alyssa's mother. She couldn't be with us, unfortunately. She desperately wanted to, but she's out in the street tonight getting physical signatures in Indiana and getting people to care about this cause. So on August 11th, our admins and our supporters will be out there picketing in front of the governor's office. And then on August 12th, we will be presenting all of the signatures that we've collected, the physical signatures from Indiana to the governor. And so that's where we are today with that. And what we hope to accomplish is that he will, do something about this and sue a proper homicide investigation for Alyssa and find out
who killed
her. Make
sure you forward all that information in regards to the August 11th rally to all of the media, national and throughout Indiana.
Absolutely. We most certainly will.
You want every network there, every network. That's the only way anyone can have a voice for justice, is when you hold them accountable. And sadly, in today's society, it takes the media to make that happen. We have a caller on the line. Caller from the 304 area code. Do you have a question for London tonight?
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
Yes. My question is, I live in the town, the Virginia area. I'm on Baby Alyssa's page. My question is, I understand what's going on with everything. I'm aware of it. And my question to the admin is, if they can't convict Christy of what she did and how they can't confirm that she actually murdered Alyssa, I mean, the evidence is there. I mean, if they turn this down again, what is their option to go and do after that?
Well, we are prepared, and this is something that I did want to address, so I think it's a great question. I really want to address that we will not stop. So if the governor turns this down, whatever it takes, whatever the recourse is after that, to go above and beyond to a higher court, we absolutely will. If that means protesting in front of the White House, we will absolutely do that. We intend to see this through. And so we are just trying to go through the chain of command. And so we're starting with the governor, giving him an opportunity to do what is right. If he chooses not to or doesn't see the evidence or won't help us, we will absolutely do whatever we have to. I really believe that if someone will listen, someone in his esteemed position, for instance, would listen, the evidence is there. And I just firmly believe in my heart, as well as the other admins, that justice will be served. We just need someone who's in a position to care and who can do something and make this right. And I believe in the governor, and I hope he's listening, or someone that represents his office is listening and can, and know that we will never stop. We're going to continue. We will fight. If it takes many more moons to see this through, we absolutely will. We're never going to give up on Alyssa. And so we just want the community and all the supporters to know that we sincerely appreciate each and every one of you who is out there fighting every day, commenting. It may not seem like you're doing much, but you're doing wonderful. We sincerely appreciate it, because every time you like the page, or every time you share one picture, someone else is hearing her story, and that's what it takes. So we appreciate that, and I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I just want Alyssa to get her justice and rest in peace, you know, and get what she deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it, and thank you for supporting Alyssa.
You're welcome. I'm here all the way.
Thank you so much. We have another caller from 804. Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question for London?
Yeah, another caller from 804. Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question for London? Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have a question for our guest today?
Yes, I do. I'm just curious. I know Alyssa must have been taken to the doctor on numerous occasions. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Was she seen by the same doctor?
No, Alyssa was seen also by Elkhart and Riley's Children's Hospital in Indiana, and in addition to Dr. Egli, who was Alyssa's pediatrician, up to about 15 times she was seen by different doctors, and they were unable to find anything medically wrong with her. However, they did not report any instance of child abuse.
So they didn't see no instances of child abuse, bruises and broken limbs and you know, needing stitches? None of that was a red flag?
And, you know, that's part of what we are also after at some point in this case. Right now we're taking it one step at a time, but we are absolutely, and, you know, Alyssa's mom is fighting against that right now with the, in a civil suit against, for malpractice against John Egli. You know, he had every opportunity with Alyssa sitting in his office watching bruises appear and seeing these inconsistencies and these continued stories that should have stood out. And he allowed, you know, again, knowing their family, to come before the life of a child. And ultimately, Alyssa died because of his negligence. And so, and also the negligence of Elkhart and Riley Hospital. I mean, these people had these opportunities as health professionals to hold themselves to a higher standard of care. They take an oath, and they didn't honor that. They didn't see the signs.
And that's the way I feel. Those were the first. They were the first to see what's going on. I mean,
absolutely,
they could have prevented this.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And at some point in this, we will, you know, we will be, you know, pushing those avenues as well. For right now, we are just really focused on getting Christy, you know, in jail for what she did.
Right.
And once that happens,
everything
will follow. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Sure. I appreciate your time.
Great. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
A reminder to everyone that's in the switchboard, if you're there to ask a question, make sure you select the prompt to ask. We've never had so many people just sitting and listening, but that's a good thing. Maybe you all are stuck in traffic and listening to the show, and we appreciate that. But we also want to get to your questions if you have any of London. Now, in regards to the doctor, he, in fact, did file one report with Child Protective Services, and Kelly had actually did a civil suit against CPS and actually won that suit, didn't she?
She did settle that suit, but for right now, we are going to decline comment on anything related to the civil suit.
Okay.
And so I apologize, but we are just going to kind
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for understanding. I appreciate it.
I just wanted to make it clear that there are people that believe that injustices have happened.
Absolutely.
Not only the folks that are running the pages or the Stephanies and Jennifers and Londons of the world, but there are people in the system that know that the system was broken. And the injustice here, not only to Alyssa, but also to Schaefer's kids, to keep those kids, which make me, you know, and this is just assumptions, but to think that she could do this to her cousin's kid, what's to say that she hasn't abused in some way or another to her own child? And so for the purpose of the doctor here, Lyndon, do you know if this was a doctor that Christy actually found, or was this a doctor that Kelly had prior to giving Christy the caregiving rights?
It's my understanding that Dr. Egli was found after Alyssa was in Christy's care. To my knowledge, Kelly, he was not the prior pediatrician. I cannot say that with 100% certainty. So please forgive me for that. That's actually
no
not
worries.
A question I've ever been asked, but I'm not entirely sure about that. But, you know, the bottom line with him, and this is what just fueled me, is that he had, you know, I've worked in the medical profession as well. I have worked in many different, you know, things in my life, but the medical profession is one that, you know, we take an oath to provide a standard of care to these patients, whether it be a child, an adult, an elderly person. And I cannot fathom how Alyssa was brought in with all these excuses and just so many times that, and with all the blood work and all the testing that came back, that he didn't have a higher duty to Alyssa, which he did, but he did not listen to that. He neglected that. And he did not say, wait a second, this is wrong, because what the cost was there was Alyssa's life, and he could have saved her. He had every opportunity to say, I'm very worried about this. Anonymously, he could have. I mean, he could have absolutely anonymously made a call to CPS, CASA, had them come in and tell them this is wrong, and this child needs to be out of her care immediately. And he would have suffered no repercussion. I mean, what, you know, he just had
so
many opportunities.
Well, he hasn't suffered any repercussion at this point because
it's
a civil suit.
No, at this point, he's not.
Now, if Christy is found guilty and recharged and sent back to prison, then I could see how then the doctor will have some explaining to do. But at this point, it's hard to take Kelly's word when at this point Christy hasn't been found guilty of anything. And so I guess my question would be, and again, if Lisa's listening, if you're out there, please call in, make sure you select to speak with the host so that we can get you on the phone, because we think you are just cream of the crop for reporters. But I guess my question is there any relationship between the judge or Christy's father and this doctor as well?
The doctor, in fact, Dr. Egli, was on some boards with the prosecutor. Alyssa's pediatrician, again, Dr. Egli, he sat on the same board of directors of LaGrange County Community Foundation as Jeff Weibel, the prosecutor in the case. So the failures began with Jeff Weibel, the prosecutor. For one thing, calling a grand jury is absolutely absurd in this case. He alleges that that was because he it was a tough place to be in. It was a tough case. He didn't know what to do with it, so
was
he
it
called
a tough
a grand jury.
Case? London, excuse it was, me. Was it a tough
no.
case, or do all of you feel that the investigation from police, from the first responders, were accurate, but it the prosecution fell?
I think it fell through immediately once Alyssa was brought into the ER and pronounced dead at 9:54 p.m. on March 28th, because at that point, Christy was never arrested. And let me just tell you, in my state, if I brought my son battered the way that Alyssa was into an ER and she died on their table, I would be in handcuffs so fast in Alabama, it would make their head spin, at least for questioning. I would be in an interrogation room for hours. And it
California
blows my mind.
And Washington as well.
Absolutely, in many other states. And what gets me is that she never, ever was arrested that night, never brought in for questioning to our knowledge that night as far as, you know, what happened to this child. And by all accounts, Kelly could not hug Alyssa goodbye because they were worried about the disturbance of any kind of evidence and the condition that Alyssa was in. So right then and there, the doctors and the respiratory therapists and nurses there to save Alyssa's life, who could not, knew that something was wrong and would not allow her mother to disturb anything on Alyssa at that point. Pictures, indicate that they were already looking at evidence right there, taking measurements. Things were, happening right then and there. And it blows my mind absolutely that Christy was never, nothing ever happened. So I believe that the failures began in the police department, the sheriff's department, whoever was there to respond to that. Right then and there, there should have been an investigation into the death of Alyssa and what happened. Just like a child who dies of SIDS, there is a very strict regulations as to the investigation of a child death, and they will seal things off. They want to make sure that that's the case. And so for Alyssa, for that not to have been done at all to our knowledge is absurd. It's appalling and it's disgusting. And it's just a matter of, she was just let down in so many ways from the moment of her death, from everyone in that household who saw Alyssa, all of Christy's family who saw Alyssa at parties, family functions, that saw her in this condition and did absolutely nothing to save her life. And
how
while
old are...
I...
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
How old are the children of Christy?
Christy's children, and I'm so sorry, they are, at the time, their ages... Gosh, I am so sorry. I don't specifically know their ages now. So many years have passed, and I'm not exactly sure how old they were at the time. But I can tell you this. She did have a stepdaughter in the home with her husband. It was her husband's daughter. And she also had two other daughters and a son. And they were very young, between 6 and 14 were their ages at the time.
Was the 14-year-old ever called to the stand by the prosecutor?
No, not to our knowledge. Nobody ever gave testimony. In the now, the grand jury proceedings are absolutely secret. They're sealed. You never know
right.
what was presented. But, and this is strictly an opinion here, but I don't believe that that was the case, because I feel that if the children were brought on the stand, there's reason to believe that some things might have been seen, and that's all I can really say about that. But had that been the case, I just find it really difficult to believe that a grand jury would only indict her on neglect of a defendant, Class B felony, because if they had that testimony, it would have been absolutely compelling and probably would have convicted her, I'd imagine, to hear
but
the testimony.
But then again, how many
of
those
but
grand
then again,
jurors?
We don't know.
Then again, how many of those grand jurors, are associated with her father?
And that's
so,
the thing with us is that we don't know, because
you
they're
don't
sealed
know.
And because it's so secretive. We have no way of knowing who sat on that grand jury, who knew them, how they selected the grand jury panel. We don't really know that. And so it's a scary thought not to know what happened there, because we don't know how little of evidence was presented, how much evidence was presented. But it would be my conclusion, based on opinion, that most likely there was not a lot presented to that grand jury. And that would just be my assumption based on the fact that they're ruling.
And you know for a fact that Christy is the one that murdered this poor child and not her husband?
We do. Based
or
on
any
the
of the other
time,
children?
Right. And the reason that we know this based on fact is the homicide detective that we've been speaking with in Indiana, and the Indiana Police Timeline report indicates that she was the police's only suspect in the case. So I imagine that they ruled them out. We don't really know specifically what ruled out any of the children or the husband, but the husband was actually granted immunity. So that's another thing that is very suspicious, is why he would be granted immunity in the case if he did nothing wrong. What was there that we're not finding out that would, that they felt that he needed any kind of immunity? And my opinion on that, and just having worked in the legal field, it would be that most likely that was done to protect Christy, because they already knew what they were going to come down on her with. And so in order to protect him as well, they gave him the immunity, and knowing that she'd charged with something, I think that just protected the whole family from anything. From what we understand, Matt was very loving of Alyssa, from what we understand, but then again, you know, we weren't there. We don't know how much he knows. And, you know, if any of the family is listening, including Matt Schaefer, we have asked many of times on our page for him to come forward, because you know, I believe firmly that someone in there, they know something, because I can tell you, I know my family very well, as we all do. And I would know things about my sister's personality or my spouse's personality that would draw me to believe conclusions if a child died in our home. And I could never in a million years imagine that I would protect that person for any amount of money, for anything in the world, because I don't, it doesn't matter if it's my mom or my sister. I could not protect them from something that this horrendous that I know that they did. And I can tell you right now that if this happened and I knew someone that did something like this, I would be on this side of the courtroom with the prosecution and the victim. I would absolutely stand against the person in my family that did
Ditto
this. And
here.
It's absolutely appalling that no one has stood up for Alyssa. Not one of those people have shown up to a single rally to say, wait a minute, hey, our daughter didn't do this, but we're here. We love Alyssa. She was a family member, and we want to know who did. Where is that in all this? There's no Christy saying, well, I didn't do this, but I want to find out who did. There's just no you know, empathy for Alyssa. There's no compassion for her. Once she was dead to them, that was it. She was, you know, she was buried to them and swept under the rug, and that's where they left her. And we intend fully to, you know, resurrect Alyssa in justice by getting her justice and proving to the world that she matters in this town. And frankly, if not for our founder, you know, reaching out to the family and them, you know, some protests outside the courthouse, no one would have ever known. And it's very sad that no one would ever have known about Alyssa. She would have just remained where she is. And that saddens me. But we're here now, and we want to fight for her. We will never stop. If it's Alyssa's 30th birthday that we're out there protesting and celebrating, we will continue this fight for justice for her.
Good for you. You know, in regards what concerns me, you know, our organization is an anti-violence and exploitation organization. And so my concern is that if this has happened with this individual once, she just didn't fly off the handle and start abusing this child out of all the children. And if CPS had settled a civil action in this case, and we won't talk about any of that, but, you know, my question is, why would they allow other children to stay in her custody? And secondly, if this injustice has occurred in that courtroom, in that county of Indiana, how many other injustices to other children that you may not be aware of have transpired? Because what I've learned along the way, things just don't happen. You know, it becomes a norm, and it continues to happen, and people just don't get caught. This particular case, obviously something transpired where all of you started rallying to have a voice for this poor child, and chances are it's not the first time it's happened. It's just the first time everyone knows about a case. So those are my concerns listening to all of this. We have another caller from 304. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for London? Hello?
Hello?
Do you have a question?
No, just listening.
Just listening. Okay, we'll mute you. No problem. If anybody has questions out there, the call-in number is 917-932-8962. Again, to learn more about this case, go to facebook.com/babyAlyssaCries, the number 4, Justice. And like their page because, again, we apologize for delaying getting you on the air. The show just came back this summer. But after listening to the sound bites and the media, you've had great media attention on this, but you need more. And I encourage everybody out there listening to this show tonight that you rally, if you can, in Indiana August 11th with this group, and you send out as many letters to the governor, the 50th governor of Indiana, anything that you can, because what we learned in a case that we were a part of in Alabama was there was an injustice. No one was looking for a missing mother. And we had to rally and get a state senator involved. And once we got that, more things started moving on her case after a half a year of not even searching for her. So sometimes it takes those political leaders, and they work for you. They work for you. So make the call, send the letters, and stand up with this group. We have a caller from 815. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for London?
Yes, I do have a question. I would like to know, Christy had served some time in jail, and the double jeopardy keeps being brought up. And by the laws that I've read, she has been charged. She also has served time. Can they still charge her with murder?
Yes, they can. That's a question that's brought up frequently, and we understand that people, you know, have that question. With that, what double jeopardy essentially means is that a person has to be convicted of the same crime or similar, meaning that if she had been charged with the original charge, you know, Class A felony, then
right.
That would have actually caused the death of Alyssa. And that having caused her death, that means she's taking responsibility for Alyssa's death, because she was actually only charged for neglect for not calling 911 when Alyssa was unresponsive. Instead, she called her brother to the scene, who was an EMT. She was essentially charged with that neglect charge for not doing that, for neglecting to help Alyssa when she was dying. So because of that, that's the charge. And so there's no correlation between murder, the death of Alyssa, and therefore it leaves it open for her to be charged in the actual death of Alyssa, whether that be a murder charge or, you know, the cause of her death. So, yes, there is no double jeopardy here. That's a fabulous question. I'm glad you asked that. And absolutely, Christy can still be charged with the death of Alyssa and hopefully the murder.
What is taking them so long? I don't understand. It's homicide. It states homicide, and yet they're dragging their feet. This is a child. I don't understand why it has taken all this.
This is why we're fighting, because it's something that is so mind-boggling. It's very difficult to understand how a child who is absolutely beautiful, looking at Alyssa's smile will just, pull at your heartstrings. And to hear how she suffered is just something that I cannot comprehend as an adult, to be traumatized that way or abused. And for Alyssa to have to endure that for 110 days is just, it makes me suffer inside. And, you know, it's just so difficult to really grasp how a judge could not have any empathy or compassion for Alyssa, you know, to want to help her, because she was the victim here. And I think everyone who is, you know, siding with the defense is not understanding that Alyssa is the victim here. And,
right.
You know, so this is why we're fighting, because it is something that we can't, you know, there is no answer for why these people are doing what they're doing, but we want to change that. And so that's why we're here, and we're going to you know, keep moving forward, and we're going through every avenue we can through the chain of command, you know, step one, and we're just, you know, slowly making moves, but it's going to get there. We've done monumental things in the last year that we just never thought we would accomplish. I mean, this started out as a wonderful project, but to see where it is today from where it began is just absolutely wonderful. We're very pleased with the media, but of course, just like Michelle said, we want that to, you know, we need more. We always need more, because that's how we're going to get this justice. And getting Mike Pence to listen to this, the governor of Indiana, for him to say this is wrong, and I agree with you, how could this happen? That's what we need, and that's what we're hoping for him to stand up for what's right. So I really appreciate your questions. That was a great question. I'm glad I could answer it.
Oh, thank you. And Alyssa's your angel, and yours, you are hers. And God bless you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you
a good
for
night.
Calling.
Bye-bye. You are definitely a helping hero, Miss London.
Thank you.
All of your team. I know that there's people in the chat room. We have Jennifer Brown and we have Stephanie posting petitions for Indiana governor. I suggest that if you're close to a computer, you log on, get into the chat room, and click these links and like these pages. Again, facebook.com/babyAlyssaCries, the number 4, justice.com, to learn more and to follow this case. Because, you know, in order to be a voice for justice, if you see something, you must say something. And that's how we end every show. But the fact remains is, if more people like yourself, London, and all of those that started this endeavor, if you all didn't care, if you cared but you didn't feel like you wanted to make it your business, that is why our society is in the way that it is, because more people like yourself need to step up to the plate, and if you see something, say something and make it your business, because in the end, this all hurts everyone, whether you live in Indiana or not. This is the judicial system, and it's going to continue to work this way in favor of those that do harm if more people like yourself don't step up to the plate, London. So I commend you, and I thank you for your dedication, but also your persistence in getting us to learn more about it. And again, if you'd like to call in, we have about 7 minutes left. If you have a question regarding this case, or if you just want to say thank you to all of the people putting this effort to have a voice for Alyssa on, please call 917-932-8962. The chat room is also full. If you have any questions in the chat room, please post them there, and we definitely will ask London. And I promise we will bring this back in a few months from now with some legal experts to make heads or tails over why it takes this kind of effort in order to see justice for a little child. And again, I'm more concerned with the children that are still in the house as well, because I don't believe this probably was the first time something's happened. Based on the photos that I've seen, and I'm not a medical examiner, we'll ask our friend Larry Kobolinski to join us next time, but you know, the bruises just didn't happen overnight. I mean, that child's face was completely bruised. And not to mention the other body parts that you mentioned, and her hair ripped out and her broken elbow. You know, if you can't take care of a child, just say no. You know, why say yes and then do harm to a child? I just don't get it. Again, you know, London, where do you go from here? You mentioned, you know, there's really no particular attorney having a voice for Alyssa at this point. Do you have a private investigator? Do you have, are you doing any fundraising that can help offset the costs to seeing this through? Because obviously, the person that did the murder has some money behind her to get her off. So what's it going to take for us to be able to make sure this one doesn't get away?
Well, at this time, and that's a good question, I appreciate it. At this time, we are actually not taking any donations. We fund everything completely out of our own pockets and on our own. We travel, you know, all expenses are paid by the administrators of the page, and eventually, and we're coming to a point where that may be something that we would be interested in to, you know, pursue attorneys, to pursue private investigation, things like that. We're working with her mom very closely on this. And in all avenues, we'd like to respect her wishes and how things are going. And so as things unfold, we're getting to a point, and we're really, we haven't really needed funds thus far, to be honest with you. We just do this on our own, and we're completely fine with that. And we're not a 501c3 at this time, so we just are very transparent with the public, and at this time we just really haven't needed that so far. There was a point in time where we were taking donations, however, we do not any longer, and that was at the wishes of the family. And so we respected that and no longer took any donations. And so at this point, we don't need them. We sincerely appreciate the thought of that. We get asked that frequently. But right now we're okay. And we just, the main thing that we really want to say is to have the community step forward. It may not feel, like I said earlier, that you're doing a lot, but you are, just by liking our page, just by your love and support for Alyssa, by checking in on her, by telling someone, because the way that I see it, everywhere that I am, and people may find it, you know, just it's sudden that I will walk up to people, but I have a decal on the back of my vehicle window that has our website or our Facebook page that has 77 Days for Murder and Alyssa's birth and death date. And that compels people a lot of times to ask me questions about her and what happened. And I do that for that purpose, because I feel if you tell one person her story and one person hears this, they will share it with another person and another person. And, you know, that's how we've gotten the numbers that we have and the support system that we have. And, you know, there are seven of us, but we surely don't do it alone. We are backed by 110,000 people who absolutely want justice for Alyssa, and they're on there frequently, and they're fighting with us. They're printing those letters, and if you haven't printed your letter yet, we ask that you do. We ask that you sign the petition. Just kind of do a little research on our page. Go to our About section. Go to our Notes section. Find out all you can about the case. Ask questions. We are on there daily engaging. We monitor each of our posts very carefully. We're on there, so if you have a question, please ask it. Please ask how you can help and do more. We'd be happy to tell you. But the main thing right now would be for any Indiana listeners to be at the governor's office in Indianapolis, to be there on August 11th, to picket, to get these petition signatures, and to present it to the governor on August 12th. Our admins will be there to do that. And one thing I'd like to add really quickly, I know you might have some callers waiting, is that there are seven of us administrators on the page, and each one of these women are, and I'm speaking tonight, but I am just one voice of seven that are absolutely the most amazing women I have ever met. We are best friends. We share so many things personally with each other. We fight day and night. We're on all night. We never stop. We won't ever stop for Alyssa, and I'm so proud of them, and I wish that they could have joined us tonight.
Give them a shout
out.
Feel free if they don't mind their names being mentioned. I'm assuming Jennifer and Stephanie may be one of two of them, but give their names out. Give them a shout out. I've extended the time. If you've got to go, make sure you all download the podcast and share the podcast so more people hear the story. We will go over, so we will stay live for a little longer. But give a shout-out to them, because I agree. Volunteers are the best. And in this particular case, when you volunteer for a complete stranger, in my book, you rock.
And I think that's what it takes out there. You know, if someone wants to do more for any cause, and the way that we're going to see changes in the world is to, for one person who has an extra time in their week, you know, the stay-at-home mom. That's how it began with me. I was, you know, now I work all the time, but I still, when I come home at night, I'm a full-time student. I work full-time, and I make time for Alyssa, and we make this work in our lives, and there's always time, and I'm, you know, there's always time to do something greater than yourself, and I feel if you reach out to a cause, you do something, print a letter, the very least that you can do for someone else, you're always helping, and if it takes 5 minutes of your week or 20 minutes, or you can set aside an hour of your week to do something for someone else, and it doesn't have to cost you money, please do it, and I beg of you to do it for Alyssa because she needs it so greatly, and by getting Alyssa justice, we are getting Christy Schaefer off the streets to hurt another child, and we are also setting the bar high for Indiana and every other state to say that we will not stand for this. This is absolutely something that we have put our hearts and souls into. We have cried blood, sweat, and tears into this. We will never stop. And that's something that I have to stress to the family that might be listening of Christy Schaefer and to Christy Schaefer. If anyone is listening who might believe in her, I ask you to take a step back, to do the research, because this woman needs to be off the street, and that's why we're here, to get her away from any other child she can hurt.
And if Christy Schaefer is listening, we invite her to call in also. The call-in number is 917-932-8962, and give us your side of the story. We'd love to hear it. We try to stay neutral, but in this particular case, we did not know how to reach you. So if you are listening, if you're in the chat, feel free and give us a call and let us hear your side of the story. But why don't you give a shout-out to your team, London?
Sure.
While we're still going?
Well, there's a few of our admins who'd like to remain anonymous, and so I will just go on and just say this. They know that they're listening. I love them very much. Bernadine Bucafori is our founder, and she is someone that I admire so much. She has been through so much in this. During this process, has even had a heart attack and is going through some other medical issues, and I just would really like to say to her that I love you very much. I get a little emotional when I talk about Bernadine because she's my angel. She brought me to this cause. Her fight in this has been remarkable. I aspire to be like her, and I just thank her so much. And to all of our other admins who are on day and night, we all have personal struggles, but you all are there night and day along with me, and I love you, and I'm so grateful, and thank you that you're out there getting those physical signatures. This is what we need. We're going to do this together, and with our 110,000 supporters and hopefully more in the media, I know that this is going to happen for Alyssa. I love you all very much, and I just want to thank you because you're my best friends, and we're going to do this for Alyssa. I know we are. I have no doubt in my heart at all. I've never doubted it from day one that Alyssa would see her day of justice and reckoning in this. And I firmly believe that.
Your child is a lucky
you.
Child
you.
To have a mom like
you,
London.
You.
Again,
so
we will go over a little bit, folks. So we are live, and if you have a question, we'll still take some calls. We have 10 folks still listening to the show on their phones. If you have a question, just select the prompt to ask London or myself a question. The call-in number is 917-932-8962, and the chat room is still going strong, and if any of you have a question there, please post it, and I will be happy to ask London the question. We do have a caller, 304 again, not sure. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 860. 860, you're on the air. Do you have a question? Area code 860, do you have a question for London? Okay, and then we have a caller at 304 again. 304, do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, please.
Christy had the time to go through a drive-thru. The sibling of Alyssa even noticed that Alyssa was leaned forward and asked what was wrong with her, and she replied and told her not to worry about it. she then got home and noticed something was actually wrong with Alyssa. To me, not just neglect of calling 911 for her, she neglected her in that vehicle. She should be charged with more than murder, more than neglected on the pendant. She knew there was something wrong with that baby. The other child told her something was wrong with her. She should be charged with the fullest intent to child neglect of the law.
I completely agree with you. I would like to say this. You know, Christy beat Alyssa to death. In the moment that she lost her temper and lost control of herself and killed Alyssa. And one thing in the Inside Edition report that absolutely broke me down was the fact that CPS had made a statement that Alyssa had been punched in the mouth so hard that that's what caused her death. As hard as a person could possibly hit someone in the mouth is how Alyssa had most likely died. And so Christy knew from the moment that she lost control when Alyssa was not responding after she had attacked her that she was in critical need of medical attention. And we don't know for how many hours Alyssa was in that condition, but she went ahead on and ran errands. And I find it just, I don't know that there's even a word to describe. I absolutely have no words to describe what a person could have in their mind. It must be a psychosis to go through a drive-thru with a dying child and have your children asking you what's wrong with Alyssa when she's making noises and she's suffering. At that point, when something like that happens, her brain was swollen and bleeding and she was dying. Her organs were shutting down. And Christy knew that. She, you know, rode around with her rented movie. And just the absolute disregard after the fact for what she'd done in addition to the heinous crime of killing her.
That sounds
just
like a sociopath to me.
It does to me, too.
Think of Scott Peterson, who eats pizza after killing his pregnant wife, Lacey. So, you know, when you think that, and he made phone calls like it was nothing. That, to me, sounds like more of a sociopath, and there's more hidden issues than just a woman that killed a child.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Michelle. And I just, you know, Christy has to take responsibility. And if she doesn't on her own, someone in the state of Indiana has to care enough. Because if they don't, again, we are prepared to move on with this and keep on going. If it takes a higher court, we absolutely will. And, you know, I pray for the best in this and that, it, you know, Mike Pence is who he says he is and that he stands for the state and that, you know, Indiana, he wants to make it a state that works. Well, this isn't working, Mr. Pence. This is not working. A child who can be swept under the rug after systematic abuse for 110 days. And I counted, we kind of did a little bit of our own study for 110 days and kind of calculated the day it began, went on with our daily lives, and basically kind of stopped on the 110th day. That's a very long time to be abused, you know, consistently, and to, it just, it's very sad, and I just, you know, to answer, you know, your question or your thoughts, I just want to say that, you know, you're absolutely right. Christy should be charged to the full extent of the law, and I hope that she is. Murder in Indiana, but also for torturing a child under the age of 13 is cause for capital punishment, and I just feel like at the time there were so many opportunities to bring those charges on Christy, and it wasn't done, and that's just an absolute failure of justice.
A lot of people need to be held accountable. Thank you for your question, ma'am. We have another caller from 424. Caller, you're on the air from 424. Do you have a question?
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'm surprised that I didn't hear about Alyssa's case back in 09 when this happened. I had just given birth to my second child and I probably wasn't, you know, watching the news, but I heard about it a few days ago on the news, how people were rallying that this woman spent 77 days in jail and all that. And I've been thinking a lot about it, and I do believe that this case can reopen. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time it's happened. So so I'm not going to give up. I'm in California. I've shared this with everyone I know on Facebook. I've talked to people in my church about it. Most of them have heard about it, but a lot of them didn't know that, you know, we could have an online signature, so they said that they're going to do that.
What did you hear it on, if I may ask? If you're in California, did you hear about it on Inside Edition?
Yes. Yes, that's what it was. I'm sorry. I forgot. It's Inside Edition.
Giving a shout out to Inside Edition and the journalist that did a fabulous report. We're hoping that Lisa calls in before we hang up, but I just wanted to bring that up, that media matters, and it brought you to this case as it did us. So thank you for sharing that.
I believe in media, but the other thing is about Christy, there's no reason that someone would do this to a child. I think that I have three children. I get overwhelmed sometimes. My boys have a lot of energy, but I never feel like I want to hurt them. I just raise my voice once in a while. I never feel like I want to hurt any of my children. I love them. And Alyssa reminds me of my daughter, and I think that Christy is someone who is an abuser, and she wouldn't really want to take in these three children, but I think she saw money. Because people, when they take in foster children, I've never done that, but I know from common knowledge you're paid for that. And I think that's all she cared about. Yes.
Do we know, London, if she indeed was getting something from the state for having Alyssa?
You know, I don't know that she was getting anything. That's a fabulous point, though. I do want to say thank you for pointing that out. And I will say this, we are always learning. We do know extensive facts on the case, you know, like the back of our hand. But that's a great, you know, question. I don't know that she was, because there's a kinship law there that she'd actually was a foster parent, yes, but she took her on a kinship basis. And because of that, I'm not sure if the kinship situation had anything to do if they do get paid. But I would imagine there had to be some kind of...
She petitioned the court for Alyssa's older sister's Social Security check to come to her, and she won that.
Well,
it says that. And that part, that's not foster care, that's separate. But
right,
even by you can see that her intention was
and
mine.
I think there had to have been something there. And that's something we'll definitely look into now that you addressed that. And
she just decided to pick on this one because this.
But I would imagine that they gave her, excuse me, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I would imagine that they gave her some sort of support, absolutely, probably, to take those kids. I mean, she had to support them, so it would be my assumption that probably there was money involved, and that may have had something to do with it. Then again, daddy's behind the scenes supporting them in a lot of ways, so it wouldn't have surprised me either way that she had some kind of reasoning behind taking Alyssa or she didn't, but the fact remains, you know, is that whatever her motivation was, she took that child in at her free will, offered to take her, and then, you know, beat her to her death and, you know, took pictures of it, which is something that disturbed me, wondering, why would you take a picture of a child that you've abused to when you print that photo off at Walgreens or Walmart or wherever you took it? Nobody saw that. Nobody, you know, they turn in child pornography photos. Why don't they turn in child abuse photos? People,
exactly.
If I saw
Amen.
That come off, If I saw that come off on my printer at a, you know, and I'm a photo printer, you know, photographer person, I'm sorry for lack of a better term, but if, you know, I just, there's just so many instances that I feel that there were signs, and, you know, Alyssa, she just deserves better, and if not in her life, she deserves it in her death, and I appreciate you pointing that out. I'm not sure exactly what the motivation was, but that's definitely something we will be looking into and something
Thank
I can
you
ask
so much
mom.
For the
And I appreciate that. I'm just going to sign off by saying that I wish all the best to her mother. This was out of her mother's hands, and I hope she finds the peace that she needs, and I hope she knows that we're still going to be fighting along with her for Alyssa. And from us in California, we absolutely love Baby Alyssa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Is very appreciative.
Thank you so much. Bye.
And we, London, as we wrap up, we're going to save the best for last because we have that fabulous reporter on the line from Inside Edition that did that wonderful report.
Great.
Lisa, are you with us?
Hi. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can. Thank you for calling in. I just want to say, as a publicist and a media consultant, I can tell you that you don't always find reporters that are willing to put their neck out like you did. That report that you've done, we've posted it for folks to watch. Fabulous, fabulous report. And we hope Inside Edition stays on this case because you really showed the true face of the judge and others involved. And we say kudos, and we hope that you'll nominate yourself or someone nominate that report for our Jane Velez Mitchell Award. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to say that the credit goes to the folks that reached out to me originally last November after I covered somewhat of a similar story, Justice for Juliet. And the night that that story aired, I started to get contacted from friends of Alyssa and Alyssa's army, who immediately began linking me to local stories about Alyssa. And so, you know, our show, as you know, is a national news magazine, and sometimes it takes us weeks and unfortunately months sometimes to thoroughly research a story and go out to the location. We went to Indiana three separate times to do that story and to bring our crew out there and to generate the video that was part of that story that you saw from the interrogation, and some of the background information and the research really took months to put together. So credit goes to the folks that reached out to me, first of all, and to Charlie McElravy, my producer, as well. And we worked really hard on this story because we believed that justice was not served in this case.
I completely agree with you. And again, for those of you listening, to see Lisa's report, there's a link on the page and also in the chat room. We encourage you to watch that, and it's also up on Inside Edition. You aired that just recently, correct?
Correct. We aired it about, I think, 2 weeks ago. And what we try to do is, unfortunately, we have investigations, like I said, that take many weeks and sometimes months to put together, and our investigations don't air every day. We usually have our investigations airing during sweeps periods, which is February, May, short sweeps period in July, November, and then for the season kickoff, which is September. So we were probably, I know it was frustrating for Alyssa's army to wait for the story to come on, but, you know, we can't air a story until it's thoroughly vetted, until we thoroughly research it and get it on and make it as accurate as possible so that everybody gets a really full and clear picture of what the story was from our perspective. Like I said, I personally went back to the location three different times to do those interviews and get that background information over a series of many months. And, so it aired 2 weeks ago. And hopefully now that that's aired and now that that's part of the national record, we hope that the community, law enforcement, local authorities, and certainly local media continues to push for change because, you know, once it airs on a network and on a show like ours, we have 5 million viewers. But
right.
It takes pressure locally once that story airs to get the ball rolling. We start the ball, but then the ball really has to be, you know, handed over to somebody locally that can take it and really do something with it in terms of making change happen.
Do you think that Inside Edition, Lisa, will have a reporter or at least a camera out at the rally at the governor's office in August?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, I think that we'll certainly follow up on the story, especially if there's any evidence that they're going to take a look at the case again. And if, you know, if something happens, if it goes back to trial, if there's new evidence, we certainly, for example, we did a follow-up with Justice for Juliet. So this is how, and like I said, it's a similar story, so I can tell you that we are still planning to go to that trial, and we are still planning to do yet another follow-up. So now we've done two stories on Justice for Juliet. We'd love to do a third now that Destin Chauncey, who is now going to be facing trial next month for Juliet's murder. Now that he's, you know, potentially going to face justice, we plan to be there. So we're not giving up on the story, certainly. But, you know, we'd love to be there for every rally and every protest. But unfortunately, realistically, you know, we're working on 30 different stories throughout the year. So when there's new evidence and something new and important to cover, then we certainly hope to be out there again and cover, you know, whatever the next step is that you know, the legal system has in store for Juliet's story.
Well, the story was well done. And if you don't mind me asking you, what did you take away from doing that report?
A lot. You know, as a reporter, you always go in trying to be objective and trying to learn as much as you can about what potentially could have happened. You talk to a lot of people. You do a lot of research. In my case, reams and reams of information was given to us and that we also culled through the authorities. So, you know, through weeks and then months of research, I came to the conclusion personally that questions need to be answered and that there wasn't a thorough investigation done of Alyssa's death. And, you know, there are so many elements to the story, small town justice, a good old boy network, you know, problems with potentially the foster care system and, you know, this little girl was taken to the pediatrician several times. Before her death, and there just were so many questions that were unanswered that when I left the final time after the third time that I was there, I was exhausted emotionally because I felt that that little girl was let down by every single adult in her life and after her short life so far. And so that's kind of haunted me, that little girl still is looking for justice. And I think her, you know, her little soul is still with us. And I believe, you know, I'm sorry if I sound corny, but, you know, I believe that somebody needs to be held accountable so that she can rest in peace.
Amen. And we thank you as an anti-violence organization. We have a media council, and we would be honored if you'd like to join it at any time in the future. It's comprised of many reporters across the country that are having a voice for the voiceless. And in this case, you have definitely had a voice for little Alyssa. And to you and all the reporters that have given this some airtime, I thank you, and I'm sure her mother, Kelly, and her entire family and London and her group all thank you, too, because media does matter, and the caller before you had been from L.A., and that's why I asked her where she had heard it from in the media in L.A., and she said Inside Edition. So that's the power of media. And
yeah. And
so thank you so very much. Would you like to give any last thoughts before we end the show this evening?
Thank you. I would. I again, kudos to the people out there that are listening right now because, you know, we as the media can only do so much. You have to let us, the public needs to let us know when there are issues, when there are frustrations, when there are scams happening, when crimes are happening in your neighborhood. You know, there is a voice that is being heard. We hear you. And now because of social media, you know, we can hear you much more quickly and much more accurately. And for those of you that care, that have issues, you know, certainly you can contact me on Facebook at Lisa Guerrero. I have a fan page. And you can contact me immediately if there's new information about this case or anything else. I'm also on Twitter at the number 4 Lisa Guerrero, so at 4 Lisa Guerrero. Use social media. I know that people are doing this now, and there's no better way to have your voice be heard immediately than through the utilization of technology and through social media. We are hearing you, we are listening to you, and we care about you, and we care about your problems deeply.
Thank you. London, you have anything for Lisa?
Yeah, just really quickly. Lisa, thank you so much. Again, we all are so appreciative. Kelly is very appreciative. And you know, your story was absolutely wonderful. I had so many friends and colleagues watching, and everyone came back to me and said that you just did a fabulous job. You really touched on a lot of points that we were desperate for people to hear, and I just thought it was a great report. And we are just hoping that, you know, the public, you know, hears our outcry and will reach out to you or to us and let us know, because I firmly believe somebody is out there that can help. You know, somebody's behind their computer either listening or had watched that, that might have the resources to step in and help us. And so, you know, you just did a wonderful job. We are very pleased, and we thank you for listening to us, to our voices, because we are what all Alyssa has at this point to be heard. And if not for our supporters and, you know, for the administrators and her mother, it, this just wouldn't be out there. And for you to get that out there and listen to us was wonderful, and thank you. Thank you again. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to cover it and to meet everybody and to hear your stories, and to hear this story in particular has touched me. So I thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for coming on tonight. That just shows your compassion and your willingness to be available. And that's great. Thank you again, Lisa.
Thank you, London. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa. Before we end, London, any last thoughts? Again, we want to make sure that everyone in the chat and that's listening to the show, the podcast will be uploaded about 10, 15 minutes following the live version of the show. Please share it. Please like it. Please download it. That's the only way that this is going to continue. And the same goes for Lisa's story. Like it, comment on it. The more comments any of the shows and segments and reports get, the more, like Lisa said, everyone is paying attention in the studio. So please make sure that you share it and like it and repost it on Twitter and everything, because it does count. And I can tell you, being in media for the past 20 years, that we could pitch 100 stories, and it will take months before one gets picked up. So when you get a reporter like you did with Lisa and the others that I have seen out there from the local community in Indiana, kudos to all of you and your team, London, because that's the only way people will listen, if you keep it up. And the same goes for the governor. So it's encouraged that everyone continues to call his office, because he will get sick and he will then stop for a minute to listen. So keep the calls coming. But any last thoughts, London?
Yeah, just to sign off, I just want to, first and foremost, I'd like to thank Alyssa's mother, who's out there getting the petition signatures tonight. We love you, and we're so thankful that you're working with us. I think that this is what it's going to take to get justice. We're all on the right path now, and I think it's wonderful, and I want to thank you. You're out there. You know, she's on the front lines right now, and that's wonderful to do for Alyssa, and she's fighting hard. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. I know it's taken up a great deal of time this evening, but this is a very deep case. There's so many facets to it. There's so many things about it that need to be told. And so everyone who stayed tuned the entire, you know, hour and a half that we've utilized, I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the admins. I appreciate that I was allowed to be the voice this evening for Alyssa. And one thing that I just want to remind everyone is that we call Alyssa our baby dragonfly, and that's because she appears to us as a dragonfly. And this evening, right before the show, I was a little nervous just to make sure that I state all the facts, you know, properly and appropriately. And speaking to the public sometimes can be a little frightening, but. Right before I came in to call in, a little baby dragonfly, and most of the supporters are very familiar with us referring to Alyssa as a baby dragonfly, and she appears to us often, to a lot of the supporters, and a little small dragonfly with a wounded wing landed outside of my house in the middle of the street, and I couldn't catch her. She was kind of hopping, flying low away, but I sat beside her on the ground in the middle of the street, and she let me sit with her, and I just thanked her, and we want to make her proud, and we want Alyssa to serve, you know, her justice to be served. And again, Michelle, thank you so much for this opportunity. The National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation is a wonderful cause. I've done a lot of research, and, you know, I appreciate that you're out there as well, and your organization. I give kudos because you all are making monumental changes, and so I thank you for this opportunity to keep Alyssa's voice alive.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thanks for the persistence. Again, you know, we've had three of you that continue to pursue trying to get on our little show here, and we've had it for 3 years. We're over 40,000 listeners and downloads, and it's picking up steam now, and we're grateful because we want to have the conversation, because the more we speak about what the injustices are, the sooner justice will be had for whatever cause we're fighting for on this show. So thank you for the persistence, and continue to come back. I liked the page today. Continue to come back to us, and we will definitely bring you back on with some legal experts that can make heads or tails over what has transpired in the little community of Indiana, where baby Alyssa obviously needed all of you to come on board in order for her to have a voice. So thank you so much, and thank you to your team. And again, we want to let you know next Saturday our show is going to be on judicial justices with ajustcause.com. They will be joining us in regards to an injustice of six folks going off to jail. For more information on our organization, visit us at nwcave.org. We also have our Southwest Conference Against Trafficking on the horizon coming up in January. Log on to swcat.org to find out more about that and all of the speakers. That is in Southern California and will be held in Pomona, California. And we just want to end by saying, you know, remember, if you see something, say something. All of us have the power to be part of the solution to the issues in our society. So if you see something, say something, and make it your business and speak up. Hug your kids, be safe, and until next Saturday, we wish you a wonderful week. And we're going to end, as we have been lately, with our good friend Brittany Kellogg, who's our American Idol. And she has a wonderful voice. Learn more about her at BrittanyKellogg.com. And good night, everyone. My right hand holds.